For those of you who don't know, my name is Maddie. My husband Mark and I are going to be heading up the next Alpha course, which is very exciting. Thank you. So we are running it for 9 weeks, starting on the 21st of February, which is a week on Wednesday. And Alpha is something that we absolutely adore. We love Alpha. And so I just wanted to share a little bit of our story as to why we love Alpha so much, and then go on to talk about God, because he's quite cool too. So Alpha for us, we actually met at our old church serving on an Alpha course there. We were on the setup team. So we got out the tables and the chairs and we polished cutlery. Like, yes, we actually polished cutlery. That really happened. And we tried to figure out which tablecloth went on the right table and did they then all match together. And that is a very stressful tablecloth OCD thing. But we met and we, after a while, quite a convoluted story, which I won't go into now, we got together, we got married, and we started to just really get more involved with Alpha. We started hosting some tables and helping people in discussions and just helping people explore what is a life with God and what does that look like. We love Alpha. Alpha to us is a place where you come exactly as you are. You come and explore what you believe, what you don't believe, what you think about. You're in a totally safe space. There's none of us saying, no, actually, your opinion is wrong. Please leave. We are not interested in that. We are interested in creating safe places where people can come and just totally be themselves. And you may think, okay, well, actually, I'm already pretty good at that. Maybe with my friends, I am like an amazing talker of Jesus and I go into my friendship circles and I speak about Jesus already. So why do I really need to invite people to an Alpha course? And I think for me, the main element is that life is quite busy. I don't know about you, but our life is quite busy. We have a 2.5-year-old. We try and fit in other things apart from that, and life is still pretty busy. And sometimes you really need to actually carve out a space where you can talk about things that matter. You can talk about whether you believe there's a God or not, or if there is a God, what does that actually mean for my life? Does that change the way that I live? Does that change the way that I build my relationships at work? Does it change the job that I do? How does it change my ability to be a wife, a mother, and all those kind of things? I could have started today and talked about the greatness of the Alpha course, and I think Alpha is great, and please come and speak to me more. I'll be in the snug afterwards. If you want to talk about Alpha, come and find me. But I kind of wanted to go a little bit deeper this morning and talk about God, because to me, he is kind of the key as to what Alpha is about. Without God, Alpha would be a bit naff, to be honest. Alpha is all about discovering God. It's the start of an adventure with Jesus right at the middle of it. So I guess I wanted to talk about who my God is. And you might be sitting there and thinking, yeah, okay, like I get that. He's the same God that I believe in. That's great. You might be sitting there thinking, who is this person that Maddie is talking about? I've never experienced him and I want to get to know him, and that's brilliant. And if you do already know him, then I hope that you leave today feeling excited and energized about the next bit of our adventure with God at our side. I absolutely adore and love my God. My God took this heart of stone and made it into a heart of flesh. My God lifted me out of many, many dark places and has held me up multiple times. My God has shown me what it looks like to have a hope and a future in him. And I wonder if you know him too. I can't really tell you what he looks like, but I can tell you that he changes the lives of the people that he meets. He heals the sick. He challenges the mindsets of religious old people like me. And he sets people free. And that's a God I want to get to know better. I can tell you that he's not afraid to break the rules so that he can connect with people in a way that mattered. And I can tell you that he invites the most broken, shame-filled, and disrespected people into a relationship with him. And thankfully, God keeps inviting. Maybe you've had an invitation from God that's changed your life. Maybe you've had a chance to encounter the God that I talk about, and you've never been the same since. So for me, I grew up in a Christian family. It was quite a normal upbringing, but we went to church. And I guess I never really had that much of an experience of God. I learned about him. I went to Sunday school. We sung some quite cringeworthy songs. And, you know, it was just a bit of a process, to be honest. And I remember experiencing him fleetingly in those times, but never really, like, there was never anything in there, you know? But really, for me, it was in my university years where things took a bit of a different turn. So I went to university in Nottingham, and in my halls of residence was a now lady called Rachel, and she is still a good friend of mine, but we started off perhaps on the opposite ends of the spectrum. So we were both Christians, both loved Jesus, but we were just the opposite of each other, and we didn't really see eye to eye on many things. And she loved reading the Bible as a teenager, and I was like, who are you? I don't understand this. I just love people and hanging out with people, and you love reading the Bible. And I didn't get that as a child, so sorry, you can heckle me later. She invited me to this church called Trent Vineyard, and this was a really cool church, and I've never, ever in my life ever been cool. I've never been cool, and I also don't really like being told what to do, and all the cool Christians were going to this church called Trent, and I was like, no, I am not going. I'm not going. I'm going to go and find another church. And Rachel was so gracious. She came with me. She helped me try and find another church, and I found some places that were nice. Kind of stood up and sung a song and sat down, and that was fine. But I kind of knew that maybe I should go and try this place out. I accepted Rachel's invitation, and I went with her to this church called Trent Vineyard, and I tried to dislike it, frankly. But then worship started, and I cried. And I cried from the beginning of worship until the end. And the next week, I came back, and I cried in exactly the same way. And for 6 whole months after that, every single week in worship, I cried during worship. I had no idea that God could be experienced in this way. I had never experienced God in that way. And there may be some of you sitting here thinking, I don't particularly want to cry my eyes out for half an hour every morning. And that's fine. God doesn't always make people cry. He just makes me cry. That's just how I respond. And I started to understand that although parts of my childhood had told me that God was angry with me and inherently disappointed in me and that guilt was actually quite a good way to modify behaviour, I started to realise that the God that I was experiencing in those times was absolutely, categorically nothing like that at all. The God I started to experience in my uni days left me breathless with awe and wonder. I started to realise that I, little old Maddie, was lovable and loved by the most glorious and holy God. And it's taken me nearly 15 years, that's how long it's been since I went to university, which is quite depressing, it's taken nearly 15 years of continued experience of God in this way for me to understand that God completely loves me. He's not secretly angry with me. He's not a little bit disappointed. If I spend time with him, he hasn't got that list ready to kind of pull out. It's like, you know, this is great, Mads, but actually we need to just crack on with some of these little problems. He absolutely adores me. Thank God my friend invited me to my old church. I tried to think the state my life would be in right now if I'd never experienced God in that way before. We wouldn't be here. I'm sure you'd all be very disappointed about. We wouldn't have been on the adventure that we're on right now, and that is a sad, sad thought. God took my life, my religion, my good behaviours, my guilt-ridden thoughts, and turned it into a relationship with a Father who loves me to the ends of the earth. That's not unusual behaviour for the God that I know. It's not unusual for God to turn people's lives upside down. One of my favourite bits of the Bible is a bit where Jesus meets with a sinful woman. And I'm just going to read from the book of Luke, which is one of the books in the Bible that tells a story about Jesus and about what he did. So if you have a physical Bible, it'll kind of be a third of the way through, but it's going to come up on the screen anyway. So one of the Pharisees, and Pharisees were people in the day who were really religious. They loved rules, and they loved telling people that they were breaking rules. They were probably a bit like me 16 years ago. So one of the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, over for a meal. He went to the Pharisee's house and sat down at the dinner table. Just then, a woman of the village, the town harlot, having learned that Jesus was a guest in the home of the Pharisee, came with a bottle of very expensive perfume and stood at his feet, weeping, raining tears on his feet. Letting down her hair, she dried his feet, kissed them, and anointed them with perfume. When the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, if this man was the prophet I thought he was, he would have known what kind of woman this is who is falling all over him. Jesus said to him, Simon, I've got something to tell you. Oh, tell me. 2 men were in debt to a banker. One owed 500 silver pieces, the other 50. Neither of them could pay up, and so the banker cancelled both debts. Which of the two would be more grateful? Simon answered, I suppose the one who is forgiven the most. That's right, said Jesus. Then turning to the woman, but speaking to Simon, he said, Do you see this woman? I came to your house. You provided no water for my feet, but she rained tears on my feet and dried them with her hair. You gave me no greeting, but from the time I arrived, she hasn't quit kissing my feet. You provided nothing for freshening up, but she has soothed my feet with perfume. Impressive, isn't it? She was forgiven many, many sins, and so she is very, very grateful. If the forgiveness is minimal, the gratitude is minimal. Then he spoke to her, I forgive your sins. That set the dinner table guest talking behind his back. Who does he think he is forgiving sins? He ignored them and said to this woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Yeah, praise the Lord. I could barely read that without wanting to just cry. So great, because Jesus was met by a woman who would have had the worst reputation in her town. She would have been known. She was the town prostitute. She would have had, like, in Jewish culture, she would have been the most unclean person. You couldn't even be in a room with her without becoming unclean yourself. But Jesus showed her value and mercy and grace. Jesus transformed her life in just one encounter. And we can have that experience too. You might not have encountered Jesus before, and we would love for you to be able to encounter Jesus. You might have encountered Jesus multiple times, and we would love to say to you, invite people into that. This is actually really good news. Jesus is really good news. Last week, you may remember that Chris talked about wanting to see Asher transformed. Some of you will have made a personal commitment to be used as God plans, and the words are just going to pop up. This is what we said last week. Let it be known that today I give myself afresh to the cause of bringing life to Ashford and beyond. Father, use me as you will. Spend me as loose change in your pocket. May we see miracles and more miracles. May we see people saying yes to you, many of them. May we see people's lives transformed beyond recognition. Wow. Wow. It's a pretty big statement. And a pretty massive commitment. If you said that last week, I wonder, did your week look any different after saying that? How's that looked for you this week? Have you stepped out into opportunities that God's given to you? Have you felt kind of that feeling of, Lord, if you don't turn up in this situation, this is going to go horrifically wrong? Situations where you can only rely on Him. And for me, this statement plays out in my life in two ways: prayer and action. I pray that God increases his movement in Ashford and keeps softening hearts towards him. And action, because quite often I am the outworking of the prayers that I pray. Only God can change hearts, but we get a chance to invite people to meet him. The way God is moving is increasing. We have had two people sign up to this current Alpha course who have got no connection at all with Ashford Vineyard. They have never encountered any of our communities. They have gone on the Alpha International website, and they've searched for an Alpha course that's near them, and they've gone, yeah, I want to come to that. Yeah, that is exciting to me. I want people there who want to be there because they've started to realize this is great news. And so I find that really exciting, but there's so much more. There is so much more than that. God is already warming hearts, and all we have to do is start cooperating with what he's doing. And to be honest, you might be sitting there thinking, and I've done this, I've had this thought many times of like, oh, I'm just really scared. What if I invite people and they don't come? Or what if I invite people and then I realise that, like, they think, why would I want the life that you have? Or all those kind of things. But for me, I would just say, I don't actually mind. I'm not bothered if people say no to an invitation. I will get over it. I want people to have the option to come. I want people to know that there is such a place where they can get to experience God. And if they don't want that, that's okay. That's their decision. They're a human being. They're allowed to make that decision. But if people don't know, if they've never been invited, then they're not really making a fair choice. Mark and I have been talking more and more about our desire to see people completely transformed by knowing Jesus. We don't just want to see people experience God one time and then lurch in their lives from one experience of God to another and not really ever getting that right in the pit of themselves. We want to see people grow in their faith and become all that they were designed to be. We want to see people being nurtured and in turn nurture others. We want to see people break out of the cages they've built around themselves and experience freedom. And it's a long road, isn't it? It's a long road to freedom. I am 31 years of age, and last year I had quite a long course of counselling of my own volition. But I knew that there were mindsets in me that were holding me back, and I didn't want that anymore. I didn't want that. They were altering the way I made decisions. They were altering what I wanted to do with my life, or even the scope of what I thought I could do with my life. And so I knew it was time that I needed to sort it out. So I went to get some counselling, and my counsellor was an amazing woman. She didn't know Jesus, but she was quite happy for Jesus to be in the room with us as we had our sessions together. Yeah, she's awesome. She was so prophetic. The amount of times she's like, I just see this about you. And I'm like, oh, God's really here, even though you're not a spiritual holy person. He was awesome. He turned up. So I started to experience freedom, and I am so much freer than I was this time last year. But, you know, yay. But that also kind of brings a twinge of sadness, because I don't know if you've had this. As you start to break free of something, you realize all the people who are not free of stuff. And that feeling of, I want people to be free. I want everyone in here and everyone in Ashford to be living the life that they are meant to be living and to be totally unbound by anything in their head or their hearts or anything else. That starts with a small step. I chose to start an adventure into counselling. I highly recommend that to basically anyone. But for you, maybe it's saying, you know what, I want to go to a circle. Or I'm going to actually step out and invite my colleague to Alpha. Or maybe it's, actually, I want to hear more about that God, and I want to start experiencing him for myself. I want to go to Alpha. You may not know who out of your friendship group or circle of influence is ready for an invite. You know, sometimes we just procrastinate and we think, oh gosh, maybe they're not ready to hear about God, and maybe I should, you know, I haven't spoken about Jesus enough to invite them to something, or really doesn't matter. There is a great story that we're just going to read from, again, from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 to 8. So Jesus entered and walked through Jericho. There was a man there, his name Zacchaeus, the head tax man and quite rich. He wanted desperately to see Jesus, but the crowd was in his way. He was a short man and couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so that he could see Jesus when he came by. When Jesus got to the tree, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is my day to be a guest in your home. Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck, delighted to take Jesus home with him. Everyone who saw the incident was indignant and grumped, what business does he have getting cozy with this crook? Zacchaeus just stood there, a little stunned. He stammered apologetically, Master, I give away half of my income to the poor, and if I'm caught cheating, I pay four times the damages. Jesus said, today is salvation day in this home. Here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost. Yes. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm imagining that none of your friends are going to climb a tree to try and come to an Alpha course. Zacchaeus took some pretty radical action to get a glimpse of Jesus. I love that. He knew he was short, but he was like, I want to see that man, because I've heard that that man is changing lives, and I want a piece of it. So he climbed a tree. And I can reassure you, Mark and I, as I say, have been involved in multiple Alpha courses. We have never heard of anyone climbing a tree to show their interest in coming to an Alpha course. So really, my question is this. How well do you know the hearts of your friends? How well do you know what's really going on underneath the layers of people having it all together, saying your polite hellos and goodbyes, checking that everything looks great and we're all Instagram ready? How well do you actually know what's going on in the life of people that you have influence over? You have influence in the communities that God has given you. We've made a new friend recently who is an amazing man. We got chatting, and I'm a bit of a gorilla, so I tend to cut to. I like to know what's really going on underneath the surface. You know, I love the tit tat, but I really want to know what's your heart like, what are your hopes, what are your dreams, what are you about, what makes you you. And so we met this new friend, and the poor guy got the Maddie treatment, and he's gay, so he lives with his husband and. He was telling me about, he was actually brought up in a Christian family. He went to church, he had a faith, and he actually came out as gay at about the same time that Freddie Mercury was dying of HIV/AIDS. So that was, I think that was literally the year that I was born. So funnily enough, do not remember that time, but I do love Freddie Mercury. I do actually have a little bit of a crush on him, even though he shall never be mine. But anyway, for multiple reasons, for many reasons, including the fact he would not find me attractive. But apart from that, I love him. I just love him. Anyway, so we were talking about this, and he was saying to me that it was really hard for him because he was coming out at a time where lots of very prominent church leaders were basically saying that AIDS was a way of God punishing people for being gay, and that that is God's punishment of the world. He gave people AIDS, apparently, because they were very naughty. And so he told me how now he tries to pray every day. He tries to just be really good so that just in case he dies or something happens, like he's still kind of on good terms with God. And you know what? My heart absolutely broke. In that moment, my heart absolutely broke. And I said to him, that is not God's heart for you. Like, God's heart for you is not that you're striving and that you are trying to better yourself so that you can maybe get on his good books and live like that. Like, God absolutely adores you. He adores you completely as you are. He wants relationship with you right now. You don't have to get your life together, whatever that looks like for any of us here or any of our friends. You don't have to have it all together. He just wants to be with you. So I'd say just ask your friends. Ask if they want to come. Be bold. Pray for your friends. I forget sometimes that God is whispering things all the time about people who I might walk past in the street or I might just accidentally have a coffee with and just say, hey, do you want to come to this thing? Come and see if you like it. If they come for the first week and hate it, that's fine. That's Mark's and my problem. It's not yours. Ask God to prompt you and show you and harass you until you start to see that you have a place and a part to play in your friendship circles in inviting people into something. We have an amazing team of table hosts. We had a great team last time. We have an amazing team. We've been really blessed with our teams. We had a little team get together a couple of weeks ago, and one of the ladies there, it was just such a great night, because I was popping upstairs and putting Jude to bed, and I could just hear, you know, that nice little tinkly laughter when people are starting to get to know each other and have a great time, and it was just a joy, a real joy to hear that. Anyway, we came down, we were talking about Alpha, and one of the ladies there said at their old church they'd been very involved with Alpha, and they had someone come along who'd lived opposite the church for 40 years of her life, and she finally got an invite to an Alpha and came along, and she experienced Jesus. And you know what she said? She said, why didn't someone ask me 40 years ago? I've been living opposite this church for 40 years, and this is the first time I've had an invite into this. And that, again, really broke my heart. And so we prayed for all the people who are going to come to Alpha. We prayed for our team. We prayed for everything else. And I felt the words, the family secret, pop into my head. And it was almost like God is saying, often he can actually be the family secret of the church. You know, there's this stuff happening, we're doing great things. I'm not talking necessarily about Asher Vineyard, I'm talking about the church as a whole. That we can be doing great things, we're busy, we're going to this, that, and the other. We're not really interacting with the people that we see, we're not engaging with people. And so people go, oh, there's something that happens there, but I don't really know what it's about. And I don't really know, like, are they there for something? Is there a reason that they're there? I do not want Jesus to be our church's family secret. I want to see the people of Ashford and beyond to meet him, to experience him, to know him, and to grow in their life with him. So I ask you, are you with me? Yes. 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 Let's do this. So, remember the God that we've been talking about today. Isn't he good? Let's invite our friends, our neighbours, our family and loved ones into something more. Yes. Isn't that exciting? We get to bring people to Alpha, and I love that. So you will have noticed that you have got a Alpha flyer on your seat. It's not really a flyer, it's more like an invite. So take it, invite people. If you would like to come and speak to Mark and I, we will be in the snug over here. If you'd like some prayer, come and find us in the snug. And that's pretty much the end.
Okay, we want to pray for these guys, don't we? Yeah, well, let's stand then. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for the willingness of these two. We thank you for the willingness of the team. We thank you for the appetite that the team has. Oh, but God, we love you. we want you to be so present. You are the most honored guest there. Will you come and fill that room week after week after week after week? We pray for the veils to be lifted from people's eyes, that they can actually see you for the first time. They see you with the eyes of their heart. They hear you speak to them. That there is a moment that starts their relationship. We pray that people's hearts will be open. That, Lord, all of us here have got people, I'm sure, that we can invite, even if it's a bit of a long shot. We can invite them anyway. We have no idea what's going on in people's lives. It could be just the right thing at just the right moment. God, we don't want anyone in Ashford to be saying, why didn't someone invite me 40 years ago? Just because maybe we're a little bit nervous of what the person might say, or they might think we're a bit of a crank or something. So we pray, Father, that through our willingness and obedience, and through your Holy Spirit stirring hearts, we pray that everyone that you long to be on this course will come. Help us, Father, even right now as we stand here, I pray that people will just drop into our heads and hearts that we can think, oh yeah, I'll invite them. I'll have the courage not to shove it through a letterbox. I'll have the courage to knock on a door and say, I know this seems a bit random, but. We've prayed for a few of the random, comma, buts to come along, God. Some of those that are just the long shots, the crazy ones. And we pray for Mark and Mads that they will lead that team with such a gift of leadership and wisdom that they will know when to speak, they will know when to be quiet. You will give them the wise words to say at the right moment. And they will know when to just leave you to do your thing. We pray for an increase in wondering. That people wonder, they have questions. The Mark and Mads and the team will know when to try to answer those questions and when to go, I know, amazing, isn't it? And just leave the question lingering. That those questions will begin to unlock people's hearts. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today, and we hope you enjoyed it. For more information, visit ashfordvineyard.org or maybe drop into something if you're nearby. In the meantime, have a great week and know just how loved you are.